I'm Wayne Parm of Police Magazine, and this is Coffee Break with Police Experts. Today, we're joined by Rita Nakashima Brock, PhD, who will help us better understand moral injury as it relates to law enforcement. She is Senior Vice President and Director of the Shea Moral Injury Center at Volunteers of America. Rita is also the co-author of the 2012 book, Soul Repair, Recovering from Moral Injury After War. She has also been working on moral injury for more than a decade now. So welcome, Rita.
Thank you. It's great to be with you.
And I know it's a great topic, and hopefully we can bring some new knowledge to people. So I think the first question to put out there is, what is moral injury?
Moral injury is when the event that happens is disturbing enough and difficult enough to deal with that it actually starts to affect your sense of identity. It's like an identity crisis and a crisis of meaning. And it can come from something that happened to you, something that someone who should have done the right thing didn't do, and you make a moral judgment about it, starts to bother you. Or it can be something that you yourself were involved with, either doing or failing to prevent, or even witnessing can put people in a state of moral injury. And when you get that deep into moral injury, you start to doubt yourself, doubt others, lose trust in people, socially withdraw, might have feelings of shame or guilt or remorse, even outrage, be really angry about what happened, and slide into using drugs or alcohol to try to control the feelings, or overworking yourself to death so that you don't have to go there and think about it, or just withdrawing entirely from most of the important relationships in your life, or even think about taking your own life or giving up on a career you loved. And I think in policing, there are some similarities to what veterans experience, because most of the moral injury early research was on veterans. But there's a similarity in a culture that's very tight, team-oriented culture that has a pretty high wall around it in terms of not sharing things with others outside the culture, and the sanctioned use of violence in situations where you wind up in a lot of danger, and that is what's called high stakes work. And I don't know anything in the civilian world higher stakes than policing. And so some of the things that have been identified as possibly causing moral injury in law enforcement officers is, number one, the failure to save people. Having something go wrong and you're trying to save a life and you fail to save it. Or the use of force, lethal or not lethal, but sometimes the use of force can really bother people. Or getting orders that violate your own personal conscience. It might be legal, it might be authorized by the police, but you don't feel very good about it. Or, and this is a big one, making a mistake that leads to the death of another officer. So those are all things that if you're a person with a conscience, you're likely to feel pretty miserable about. And if you don't deal with those miserable feelings, they won't go away just because you quit your job or get a vacation or get some sleep. You really have to deal with the experience itself and how you feel about it.
Big challenges to overcome. Now, I know currently there's a lot of focus in law enforcement on officer wellness and longevity. And a lot of the topics we see out there are slightly different. So how does moral injury differ from PTSD, the other stresses? And you've told me before, it's not classified as mental health. So if you can kind of elaborate on all that.
Oh, yeah, sure. The things that we call mental health disorders, like PTSD or depression or whatever, trauma is a big one, is when the feelings of the experience itself keep bothering you. So with PTSD, it's actually that your fear center, because you were terrified or it was a very fearful event, your fear center just can't quite calm down. And so you might have nightmares or flashback experiences and relive the episode, or you might be hypervigilant all the time or have develop phobias. Those are all related to the thing that happened to you. Moral injury is after something that devastating happens to you and your conscience kicks in and you start reflecting on it. And if you feel horrible, you feel angry about something happened, you feel ashamed or guilty, those aren't fear emotions. They're what your conscience does to you when you know something really went wrong and you don't know how to fix it. And so it's not a disorder. I mean, I think if you're not disturbed by something horrible that happened, you don't have a conscience. So it's not a disorder, but it is an intense kind of suffering that doesn't just go away if you try to ignore it.
So it's natural and normal to have these struggles.
Yep. It's exactly, yeah. In fact, I think people who go into first responder work like policing and firefighting and ER work and things, you have a commitment to a life that serves other people. You're not just interested in your personal success. And so you have a very investment in being the kind of good person who does good things in your community and does your job well because you believe your job is important. And so that's someone who has a good heart and a conscience. And so that is a person at risk for moral injury anytime something devastating happens.
Understandable. What's the best recourse for somebody struggling with a moral injury?
There are a lot of ways that you can deal with it. Sometimes talking to a chaplain helps, because a chaplain's job isn't to diagnose or fix you, but to listen to your heart and your spirit and help you find equilibrium. So talking to a chaplain can help. Talking to a really good friend who isn't going to judge you can help. I think that a lot of clinical therapists may not be familiar with moral injury, but if they are, if you're in therapy for PTSD, you might want to talk about moral injury with your therapist. What we do at Volunteers of America that we've developed from evidence-based programs that we've used with veterans is we use a confidential, small group, peer-facilitated process, because being with other people who do the same kind of work you do and understand what's happening to you, they're less likely to judge you, and you can trust them to talk about the real things going on with you. Because in our veterans program, we have plenty of veterans that said, I said things to my peer group that I would never have told my therapist. It was just too hard. And so we actually have online program called REST, R-E-S-T, with a number 4, first responders. So REST for firstresponders.com. That's scheduled several times a week. And you can go in there, register for an account, and just show up for an hour with other first responders that will understand what you're going through. And you can share your feelings. The main thing is you have to find a way, talk to somebody, write them. Some people do artwork, poetry, some way to express the feelings that you're carrying that are so bothersome and painful to you. Because until you can talk about your experience and those feelings, you can't process them. But once you begin to process, you'll feel better.
And one good thing you've taught me before, the REST for first responders, those peer sessions, both free and confidential.
That's right. No one has to know you went there. It's not therapy or nobody's in there to fix anybody. Everybody's there to support each other to get through the experiences they need to process. And so we train other first responders who want to do this work. And so some of our people have gone through the program and wanted to give back. And we have some retired first responders that are facilitators, but everybody's had some kind of experience in the kind of very high stakes work that first responders do. And of course, we want our first responders to be there. We all depend on it. And the service I think that first responders provide is that often you see people at their worst and you get to help them.
And the help is there for them through their peers. All they have to
That's
do,
right,
just reach out, or again, visit the Volunteers of America REST for First Responders website.
Yep.
And they can find everything they need right there.
Yeah. Yesterday I was talking to firefighters and they were also talking about how they don't want to do their EAP programs because there are all kinds of reasons, and they feel stigmatized if they ask for mental health services. And then they also may not want anybody in their unit to know that they're going to go get help or whatever. And the value of REST, and those are other things that, you know, I wouldn't say you shouldn't do, but But the value of rest is if you just want to check in with somebody and you want to do it confidentially, you can do that with rest.
Good, wonderful. Is there any way, I mean, it seems like an occupation where everybody eventually may face some kind of situation that could create a moral injury. Is there a way to prevent or lessen the impact of moral injuries when somebody goes through a public safety career?
I think there are ways to prevent it in terms of having good leadership structures that are transparent and are supportive of people, and having people higher up in the system model the kind of self-care behaviors that they want their people to use, and even to be recommending things like rest to them. But and that's one way that helps, because then people feel freer to process, because if they do start to feel like they're feeling terrible, because holding it in is what makes it worse. That's the thing. If you when start to feel terrible and you have someplace you can go and you know it's okay and safe to do that, that's a way to prevent a worse case. So that those are all ways to help mitigate the impact of the kind of work that is inevitable in first responder work that could be morally injurious. But I think there's not a way to prevent the experiences. It's how you respond to the experiences that can be helpful to you or harmful.
And I'll put a bonus question out on the table. Do you feel like there are a lot of police and first responders who suffer from moral injury, but just self-categorize it as stress or something else, and they're just not aware
burnout.
Of moral injury?
Yeah, they're not aware of it. And they think that often burnout or those kind of terms suggest that if you just get a vacation, you can come back and be yourself. And if that's all you are, is that tired, that's true. But if you're also carrying this burden of a sense of moral unease, maybe like you failed, that something terrible happened you couldn't fix, that isn't fixed by a vacation. You really do need to process it to be your best self. And so don't sit on it. That's what I say. Don't sit on it and think it will go away. It will not go away. You could put it aside sometimes for years, but it'll still be there.
And the Shea Moral Injury Center, where's that? Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh yeah, the Shea Moral Injury Center is headquartered in Alexandria, Virginia, at where the Volunteers of America headquarters is. We're just a really big nonprofit that does service work with people, and we service 30,000 veterans a year. So I was doing moral injury education at Bright Divinity School at Texas Christian University in Fort Worth, Texas, because I got interested in moral injury now over a decade ago. And Volunteers of America said, well, we have all these veterans and they probably need some help. And I said, well, I have an idea for a program. Let's do it. And so I pulled together 8 experts to help me create this program. We ran it for 2 years. Our vets are largely vets who have been recently unhoused, are in transitional housing or low income housing, and have caseworkers and wraparound services. So we invented a 50-hour program for them that's just a lot of different kinds of processing to support them in getting over the moral injury they were carrying. And we had it was studied. We did it with 100 veterans. It was proven to be quite effective. And so we were in the process of expanding it when COVID hit, and it's an in-person program. So we had to stop it and suspend it. But I said, you know, there are going to be other people, first responders, healthcare, lots of people, teachers, who probably have moral injury from during the pandemic. And so that's when we had this idea to create a 1-hour online program based on what we learned with the work we did with veterans, for the public and our own healthcare workers and staff who are senior centers and in healthcare clinics. And then we got a grant about a year ago to set up one for first responders that was separate for first responders. So that's how we wound up doing this work. And we do a lot of educational programs. We're about to start a certificate program, and we run a conference every other year that's open to the public on moral injury. And I do a lot of public speaking to organizations. I just did one recently for corrections organizations in Ohio. And I just did one yesterday on Zoom with firefighters. So anytime I get a chance to talk about it, I think it's really important for people to understand it really is the normal reaction of a person of conscience to a devastating condition. And I just hope we stop stigmatizing people with consciences needing support for processing the things that happened to us.
Well, it sounds like you put some wonderful mechanisms around to assist. And again, everything's free, the first responders. Everything is confidential. And you even have steps if a supervisor were to end up in the same session or peer group. You even have a plan to deal with that to maintain the confidentiality. So everything, it just sounds like you've got the entire package.
And actually, if you've got a buddy or a team, even you can all come to the same session if you want to bond with each other and not just with people you don't know. So it isn't forbidden for you to come with somebody you know. We just don't want you to come with your boss.
Okay. Well, I think it's definitely a wonderful plan you have out there for people and first responders, law enforcement, and otherwise. And of course, military veterans should be sure to check it out sometime soon.
Yeah,
And
we have groups for veterans at rest, voa.org/rest. At that address, we have sessions for veterans.
well, I'll appreciate your taking your time to help spread the word on this. And Rita, thank you again for sharing your expertise with our readership during our latest installment of Coffee Break with Police Experts. Thank you.